In this bulletin, the fragile ceasefire in Gaza tested. A court ruling finds the New South Wales government's anti-protest laws are unconstitutional. And in swimming, Ariana Titmuss retires from competitive swimming. With the latest SBS News, I'm Leah Warren. Israel and Hamas continue to argue over the slow return of the bodies of deceased hostages, adding to the strain on the fragile ceasefire to end the two-year war. The Israel military says one of four bodies handed over by Hamas earlier this week is not that of any of the hostages who were held in Gaza. Dr. Chen Kugel is the head of the Israeli Forensic Institute.
Three deceased captives have been identified at the National Center of Forensic Medicine. Staff Sergeant Tamir Nimrodi, Uriel Baruch, and Eitan Levy made their rest in peace. They joined four deceased captives who were identified here, made their rest in peace. The remains of the fourth body that arrived yesterday from Gaza Strip is not associated with one of the deceased captives.
Separately, forensic experts in Gaza have started identifying 45 bodies of Palestinians that Israel handed over to the Red Cross without identification. It is unclear whether the bodies were those of people who died in Israeli prisons or bodies taken from Gaza by Israeli troops. Meanwhile, the flow of humanitarian aid to Gaza has resumed after a two-day break. The Egyptian Red Crescent said it has 400 trucks carrying food, fuel and medical supplies headed for the Gaza Strip. The United States is hoping to enlist Australia in a trade battle with China over the control of the global critical mineral supply. China dominates the supply chain and last week announced plans to introduce tighter export restrictions for rare earth minerals. The minerals are crucial for products like electric vehicles, but also defence technologies, including missiles and fighter jets. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told American broadcaster CNBC the U.S. will be seeking support from allies like Australia to counter China's plans.
This is China versus the world. It's not a U.S.-China problem. We're going to be speaking with our European allies, with Australia, with Canada, with India, and the Asian democracies. And we're going to have a fulsome group response to this because bureaucrats in China cannot manage the supply chain or the manufacturing process for the rest of the world.
The New South Wales Supreme Court has ruled that the state government's laws on expanded police powers are unconstitutional. The laws were passed earlier this year and criminalises a range of activities outside places of worship. It gives police new powers relating to protests in or near places of worship. Justice Anil Michelmore has ruled the police powers violate the freedom of political communication implied in Australia's constitution. Joshua Lees launched the legal challenge on behalf of the Palestine Action Group. He says he welcomes the court's decision, adding it's an important ruling.
We said from the beginning that what Chris Minns was doing was an outrageous overreach in trying to find some new way to ban protests in New South Wales. This, of course, comes on the back of Chris Minns' long-running hostility to the right to protest in this state, his raft of measures over many years and previous governments to try to deny our rights to protest in New South Wales.
A new report on the well-being of Australians has found Australia is outperforming other developed countries in some areas, but not when it comes to housing costs. The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare found Australians were outperforming in the areas of tertiary education, employment and life expectancy. However, the metrics on the housing crisis show around 1.3 million low-income households experienced housing stress in 2024-25, meaning they spent more than 30% of their disposable income on housing. In the half-century to 2021, home ownership rates declined from 50% to 36% among people aged between 25 and 29. For 30 to 34-year-olds, that number dropped from 64% to 50%. And in swimming, Ariana Titmuss has announced her immediate retirement from the sport at the age of 25. The four-time Olympic gold medalist says she expected to return to swimming following a break after the Olympics, but has now decided it's the right time to leave. She confirmed the decision in a video on social media.
delving more into those health challenges, I've really had to look within and think about what's most important to me. And beyond swimming, I've always had goals in my personal life, but swimming's always been most important up until this point. And I've just realised that those goals and what I want in my future is now more important to me. But more than anything, I'm excited for what's next.
Over her career, she won 33 international medals and is the current 200-metre world record holder. And that's the latest from the SBS Newsroom.